We've been looking at the events that are going to occur possibly very soon after the church is gone, and we'll be looking there again today. But before we do that, let's look to the Lord in communication. Our Father, we do thank you for the word that you have provided for us, and that we have all the information that you want us to have through your written word at this time. And we thank you that we can look at it today, and we'd ask as we look at it that we see those things that will make our life, if we apply them, more pleasing to you. And we thank you for that. Amen. When we look at the tribulation, it is a time of God's demonstrative wrath. Remember, the vials, the bowl judgment, symbolize that in the sense that they picture his inner wrath. There's one word for that, is his inner burning wrath that's poured out in a manifest anger. And the traditionally, the Reformed theologians have had wrath all wrath here, wrath all the way. But I want to make some statements, and we've been proving this for several months. God's wrath is not ever seen until the tribulation. There's a quality of it that's seen back in the Old Testament and pre-Old Testament times where you have judgments. There's no wrath being demonstrated during the dispensation of grace, but the wrath that God's really manifests his wrath won't be seen until the tribulation. And that's very important to understand. That term tribulation is very specific to that. Now, God's wrath, and we've pointed this out before, but I want to summarize. God's wrath is never directed at people in Hades or hell. You'll have all kinds of cartoons and everything where God's getting mad and doing things to people in hell. There's no scripture that does that. Another thing, God's wrath is never seen directionalized towards people who are raised from the dead. Well, where is God's wrath seen? It's seen during the tribulation, and it's directed at people on earth. So God, I don't know if you remember I don't know what the Wizard of Oz is now, but in the back when Dorothy, what was that? That one that was done 40 years ago, when you saw the Wizard of Oz, he was in a booth and there was all kinds of thundering and lightning going on around him. That's not God. God is a God of happiness. He's a good God. During the tribulation, there will be wrath. So that's not who in all he is, but it will be manifest during the tribulation, and we've been seeing that. Now, in just a real quick recap, and I did that on the first or the left-hand side of your notes there. The real quick recap to remind you that the seven seal judgments occur during the first half of the tribulation. The trump and vial judgments occur mostly in this. I have to be careful here. The first six trump and all seven vials occur in the last half of the tribulation. The seventh trump is going to not only occur in the tribulation, it's going to go through the millennium. And we intend to spend several Sundays showing you the millennial rule and what we a whole plethora of prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the millennial rule. Now, just real quick, now remember in the first half of the tribulation, a fourth of the population has been killed off. There's been two wars. Then we get to the second half of the tribulation, and here is what we need to, one facet we need to remember that makes it different. Turn to Revelation, the 12th chapter. In the 12th verse of the 12th chapter, Satan, after he's kicked out of the third heaven, no longer has access to go to accuse the brethren, is going to realize for the first time that he's going to lose. That means, I'm putting this in modern terms, that means up until then, right now, Satan thinks he's still got a possibility of winning. That's why he does all this stuff. And he's very motivated. He's very zealous to win, and he's trying to be like God. Now, in Revelation 12:12, when he's kicked out, it says, "Therefore rejoice all you heavens." So that includes the third heaven and the second heaven that dwell in them, because that's where the angels dwell. "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth," because he's been subjugated to just staying on earth, "and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath." Now this is an inner burning that he has, wrath, "because he knows he hath but a short time." Well, if language means anything, that means that he didn't know it before then. And we go back to Ezekiel. When he fell, he didn't lose his intellect. Satan can read the book of Revelation and know it better than me, but it did get a warping in his wisdom. And we need to put these words together. We'll do a little bit of this maybe in the morning. There's knowledge that you can have facts. And this is, there's an actual word in the original language for this idea of gaining facts. But when you put these facts in practice, it's called wisdom. And if you want to be smart at school, in your public school, say, "I know the word for wisdom in Greek, it's Sophia." Okay. Now, wisdom means applying these facts at the correct time. We go back to Ezekiel. When Satan fell, he can't apply the facts at the right time. But all of a sudden, at mid-tribulation, oops, all those prophecies about the world being judged by God and that I'm going to be confined for 1,000 years, oops, that's now. And so the light bulb finally goes off. In other words, he knows the facts of his future, the carrying out. He's already been judged, but he knows the facts that of his sentence are still in the future. But it's at mid-tribulation, because of his warped wisdom, is the first time he internalizes, I'm using human terms here, that whoops, my time is short. And that's one of the factors that make the second half of the tribulation so tumultuous, make the second half of the tribulation so profound. And then I've given you a summary, and very quickly, you have the first three trumps will start in the Mediterranean area, and then they will go to the whole world. The trumps are basically set up to purge the land that will be refurbished for the millennium, where the temple is. The trumps are in direct judgment of the pollution of the temple in Jerusalem. The vials are general judgments that tend to go worldwide. Now, when we got to the fourth vial, we had a switch in the order. And when we got to the fourth vial, we saw that the sun flares up and that it's going to scorch men seven times. I'm not going to review all that, but I did miss one, I didn't get to one verse when we got to the fourth trump. So let's just refresh our mind. The fourth vial is poured. The earth changes its rotation, its orbit around the sun. It's changed. The earth's rotation is changed in the fourth and fifth vial and trump. And it starts spinning faster, and there's a 16-hour day. Now, I missed one verse. I didn't have a time to get to it last week, but it actually is one of my favorite verses to describe this. So if you'll turn to Isaiah 24, this is a description in pictorial language of the earth changing its rotation or its orbit around the sun. And the middle picture of this verse is just, you can't do any better in describing it. I'm in Isaiah 24, and we wanted to look at verse 19. Now, we're going to see, now this is important. Remember, in the sixth seal, the sun is not disturbed. It doesn't get changed and blow up until the fourth vial and the fourth trump. But it's still there. And we know it's still there because in the fourth vial, it gets seven times as hot. We think that to be around seven times as much thermal units, or however you want to measure it, we think that to be around 140 degrees. Which is hot, which is a prelude of where these people are going to spend eternity. But that's another story. Now, when the Earth changes its orbit, we have that description. Now, we're going to see in these verses something that's going to happen at the seventh vial, where the sun is going to be darkened, but it's not originally darkened at the fourth vial. In fact, keep your finger in Isaiah. Let's go back and refresh our memory with just one verse back in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we want to look at the eighth verse. And I'm in Revelation 16:8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial ceremonial bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto it. In English, you would say it, because sun is a masculine noun. Unto it, the sun, to scorch men. So it's still there. Now, back over in Isaiah, we're going to see a prophecy that is going to describe that fourth vial, but it's also to go forth and describe the seventh vial. But just wanted to let you know that. Back in Isaiah 24, verse 19, and the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean in discord. This is a musical term. It has the idea of discord. This is the, if you want to think about this, when somebody first starts to find, the violin, into my estimation, is the most beautiful instrument there is. That and a saxophone played correctly. However, when people first start playing the violin, it can be one of the most annoying instruments there is. That's this word. The earth is in clean discord. The earth is moved exceedingly. Verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. And I get, so that's where I get this idea that the orbit, which is normally elliptical, is going to be changed, and this in and out is going to be really causing the earth to scorch men as it gets, you know, when it gets closer to the sun. I forgot to draw the sun there. As it gets close, you know, they did a study once. Kids always draw pictures of the sun with rays coming out, but if you look at it, you never see those rays. Why do kids always do that? That has nothing to do with what we're doing today. I got to watch that. When you figure out how my mind works, I'm in big trouble. Okay. So that was the verse. Now, later on, we haven't gotten there yet in the verse, verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be moved like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, the earth. Now, put a line right there, because that is where the fourth vial stops. Now it's going to predict what's going to happen later. And we'll come back to this, and it shall fall and not rise again. Once the sun goes out, it's never coming back, because the S-U-N is going to be replaced by the S-O-N. And that, we'll see that later on. Now, that brings us then to the fifth trump. And if you'll turn back to Revelation, the eighth chapter, we'll read the last verse of Revelation, the eighth chapter, verse 13. Revelation 8:13, and I beheld, remember the I in the book of Revelation is always John. Now, I haven't repeated this for a long time, so I'm going to give it to you again. In the first two verses, it says that God the Father gives this revelation to Jesus Christ in the realm of his humanity. Jesus Christ in the realm of his humanity commands an angel to go give it to John. And we might as well do that now. Keep your finger here and go over to the, let's see, it's on the right-hand side of the page. I'll get it here. It's back there. Wow. It moved around on me. There it is. You don't have to put your finger anywhere. It's on the right-hand side of the page. Okay, go over to the 9th chapter and the 17th verse. This is how John gets this information from the angel who got it from Christ, who got it from the Father. I'm in Revelation 9, verse 17. And thus I, John, saw the horses in the vision. Now, this is where you do need to keep your finger here. Keep your finger here and go with me, if you would, back to Numbers 24. I'm going to show you what a vision is. Numbers 24. I think it's page 199, if I remember right. Numbers 24. What I'm going to show you from Scripture is a definition of a vision. It's not a dream. A vision in Scripture is where a prophet is given a vision, and it'll look like he's in a trance. And if you were standing right beside him, you wouldn't know it. But it's in his mind, and the prophet will be in like a trance. And it's as though a big, gigantic picture show was going off in his mind. Here's the description from Scripture. Now, this is an Old Testament prophet back in Numbers 24, verse 4. And he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling, and if you got he went down prostrate on the ground, unto a trance, not having his eyes open. So the prophet would be, here he fell down, but in John's case, probably standing. Be standing there, and you could be right next to him, and you wouldn't even know what's going on. Turn the page over, I believe it's to the 16th verse, and you can see that again. And he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into trance, but having his eyes open. So it's in the mind of the prophet. It's not out there. But he sees in a kind of panoramic view of things. And that's why John, and we're going to need this information when we get to the 9th chapter. That's why John is going to describe things in pictorial language, because it's the language of appearance. Now, before we get there, I might as well say it now. Can you see a spirit? Now, I know good and well, if all of us are saved here, that there's at least spirit beings the number we are. Of unfallen angels. I got a verse for that. It's called Hebrews 1:14. I also know there's probably one that is fallen right next to each of you too. Don't have an exact verse for that, but they come in and out. So my point is, you don't see spirit beings. So how is John going to describe spirit beings in a vision? Well, he's going to have about 8 different descriptions. Is it 8? Did I number it? Oh, 10. No, I'm wrong. It's 6. 6 or 7 different ways he's going to describe these spirit beings. But now let's go back to the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, because I want to point something out there before we start getting into the fifth trump. I'm in verse 13 of the 8th chapter. And I, John, beheld an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Now, if you mark in your Bible, put 5T before the first woe, 6T before the next woe, and 7T by the next woe. Those are the next 3 trumps that he's predicting. To the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the 3 angels which are yet to sound. That's how come I knew it, because I had read the rest of the verse earlier. So there's our next 3 trumps. Now, we're on the 5th trump in the chapter 9, which is the first woe. I want to say this because we're going to get there in future Sundays. The 7th trump, which includes the millennium, this verse that I just read you proves that the millennium is a judgment. Well, think about it. Satan's bound, majority of men for 1,000 years, perfect environment, perfect government, perfect judgment, perfect everything, and men, the majority of men still fail. So that's the seventh trump. Okay, let's go back to the first verse of chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded or blew his trump, and I saw a star. Now I would fall. Now the word fall in English should be having fallen. Now this is obviously Satan. Keep your finger here and go over to the 12th chapter. Go over to the 12th chapter. Verse 4. Well, verse 3 describes Satan. Remember the word red dragon goes down to verse 9 where the dragon is identified as a serpent, devil, and Satan. They're all one. Now, what is he called? In verse 4? Verse 4 of the 12th chapter, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. What are the stars of heaven? We do not have to guess. Go down to the last part of verse 7. And the dragon fought and his angels. So the stars here obviously represent angels. Now the primary term angel, although we apply it to a class of spirit beings, rightfully so, the overarching term angel means messenger. Humans, I could show you at least 10 places in Scripture in the New Testament where humans are called angels, but we translate it messenger. So it's one of those words that you have to be careful with. But let's go back to the 9th chapter and the first verse. Having fallen. Now, I don't, because the clock is really getting away from me, I'm not going to do this, but if you go back to the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 14, 14, and 15, when Satan is sentenced to be put out of the third heaven, but that sentence has not yet been carried out until mid-tribulation. But he's judged and sentenced. I likened it that he's out on bail. He has fallen. Now, at this point, having fallen would be the carrying out of the sentence. That means this is after mid-tribulation. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw the star having fallen from the heaven to under earth. And now that's, remember where Satan came when he got mad, 12:12, down to earth, and to him was given the key to the, now you have the bottomless pit. It should be the sides of the abyss. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but in Hades, at least prior to Christ's resurrection, there were at least 5 compartments we know about. I don't know what shape we want to make Hades, but it's in the center of the earth. You had the lowest Sheol, you had the gulf in between, you had upper Sheol where the saints were. This is no longer in the center of the earth. This is at the edge of the now called paradise, at the edge of the second and third heaven. But you still had this abyss that's in between. Now apparently down in the sides of the abyss is where spirit beings are incarcerated. It's where Satan is going to be incarcerated. Now, what he's going to do is loosen some incarcerated demons. I can't tell you for sure how they got there. I'm going to give you two or three possibilities. But since he's going to loosen a bunch of spirit beings described in pictorial language, it's obvious to me that since they're getting loose, they had to be incarcerated. Now, when did they get incarcerated? Let me give you two possibilities. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, I think it's 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter, the second chapter. Now remember that I translated that a bottomless pit to sides of the abyss. Over in 2 Peter, I'll give you a fancy word. You want to impress your peers. Antediluvian. It means before the flood. So there were some angels that had fallen and they did some dastardly things. They actually tried to pollute all the genetics of creation. Now, who did they fail to pollute? Whose genetics did they fail to pollute? The ones that were on the ark. And the animals that were on the ark. Okay, that's the context here. Okay, 2 Peter, 2 chapter, 4th verse. And since God spared not the angels that sinned, so those are obviously fallen angels, those are obviously part of the third of the angels that fell with Satan over in Revelation 12. But cast them down. Now you have in your King James hell, it should be to pits of gloom. And deliver them. Now you have chains of darkness. Now what Paul or Peter and the Holy Spirit are going to do is they're going to take a secular term that comes out of the Grecian and Roman mythology, and they're going to use it. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit and Peter are saying that this term validates the Grecian and Roman mythology. No, it's just saying that it's like that. We do that all the time. We use secular terms to describe real theology or real concepts. Okay, so now let's go back. But cast them, in verse 4, down into the gloom of the pits of gloom and deliver them unto Tartarus, waiting judgment. So that means that before the flood, there were some spirit beings that were incarcerated. And it says that they're waiting judgment. Now, do they get out? Because we're going to see they're going to come out for 5 months. Are they going to get 5 months furlough? I don't know. That's one possibility of where these demons in the ninth chapter come from. Let me give you another possibility. Turn over to the 12th chapter, back to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, when it's very, scripture is so specific here. In verse 10 of the 12th chapter, when Satan and, let's go back to verse 7. And Revelation 12, 7. Trying to hurry because of. And there was a campaign in the heavens, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against, and his angels fought. Now, obviously, this is mental warfare because they're spirit beings. And Satan prevailed not, neither was there, that's the dragon and his angels, found place anymore in the heaven. Okay, so they. Both now spirit beings that are fallen can't go into the third heaven like they did clear back in Job 1 and 2. But look down in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now has come to salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And then in verse 12, he goes to earth. So we see where Satan goes. But it doesn't say anything about his demons. Did they get incarcerated at that point? I don't know. But I do know for the second half of the tribulation, except for these 5 months, Satan is pretty much on his own in the description. So here's what I'm trying to set up. And I'm being fair with Scripture, not going beyond Scripture. Satan seems, that's the word we'll use, seems to be kind of on his own during the first four Trump and vile judgments, probably at least half of the second half of the tribulation. In the fifth vial or fifth trump, Satan is going to go and try and get some help. God, knowing that that's what he wants to do, gives him the key to let him out. Now let's read over in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation. Verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star having fallen from the heaven to earth, and to him was given the key of the sides of the abyss. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit. Now see the word as, that's a simile. This is the language of appearance. The smoke of a great furnace. Now I'm going to tell you that that is symbolizing very obviously spiritual darkness here, we're going to see. And it also symbolizes that they're large number. And you realize, I think I got this from Wikipedia, there's like 8 billion, 10 billion stars. I got at least 10 verses that tells you there's one angel at least for every star. So there's plenty of demons and angels to go around, okay? All right. And smoke as a great furnace, verse 2, and the sun and the air were darkened. Now, this doesn't mean that the sun stopped shining. It just means that the pictorially, there's so many of them coming out that it darkens the sun by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts. Now, here's another. So the smoke symbolizes the large number. The locust symbolizes this concept of a horde. You ever heard of, isn't it the 17-year locusts that come and they just mow everything down as they go through? So they're a horde. They're like a destructive horde. And in verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. It's the same beings. They're just described differently. And unto them was given power as a... Now they're scorpions. What is a scorpion? Well, the scorpion in the desert are much different than... Like the ones in Texas can hurt you. But the ones in Arizona can kill you. They're smaller. So the scorpion represents an ability to cause harm, and actually an aggressive harm. I know when we lived in Arizona, we had to pick you get up every morning, you have to do this with your shoes and knock them out. My mother did get bit by a scorpion in Texas, but she just got sick. In Arizona, there are more people die of scorpion bites than of snake bites, and there's a lot of rattlesnakes there. As well, so it's that kind of ferociousness, that kind of aggressive behavior is indicated. Okay, I'm in the last part of verse 3, and as scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded unto them. This is still the same group, not to hurt the grass of the earth, although there's not a lot of it left, neither any green thing, neither tree. But only those men which have the seal of God, don't have the seal of God in their forehead. Now, here's what's happening. Satan lets these guys out thinking, oh boy, I got some minions. I got some people to help me out. This is my posse. This is my crew going to come and help me out. And God redirectionalizes what they do and says, no, Satan, you don't get them. I'm going to use them for my wrath, and I'm going to have them inflict pain upon the unsaved. You are going to try to use them against the saints, but I'm not going to allow you to use them against the saints. They're going to be used against the unsaved. Now, verse 5, and to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Now, I take this to indicate this is toward the end of the tribulation. I don't think very close to the end. And their torment was the torment of scorpion, and like strikes a man. And in those days, it's men shall seek death, and they shall not find it. And they shall lust to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, when I was living in the Bay Area of California, pretty regularly, I can't remember the numbers, so I won't cite numbers, somebody jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. And, you know, with my little twisted mind, I thought, you know, instead of putting those big barriers up there, they ought to put a diving board. Because what these guys would do, they'd be driving along, and they'd stop right in the middle of traffic, and they'd cause 2 or 3 hours of backup, jump out of the car, and then jump off the bridge. So I thought, let's get a little parking spot here, valet maybe, and a diving board, and then we won't have all this traffic. But my point is that I'm driving this home during the tribulation. If they tried to jump off the bridge, they wouldn't die. They can't get out. God is saying, no, you're going to stay here and you're going to appreciate my judgment. That's what it says. That's a phenomenal thing. They won't be able to kill themselves. They won't get the easy way out, the coward's way out. And verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it. They shall lust, this is the word for strong desire, to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses. Now you have another description. They move around quickly, and they're set for battle. You'll see unto battle, and go on their heads. Now here's an interesting thing. Watch this. And on their heads were as, see the word as, that means they're fake, were Stephanos, victor's crowns, like fake gold. Keep your finger here. Go back to the fourth chapter. Remember the 24 elders will, representing the church, will have crowns, and these are of real gold. We know that back in the context. Okay, let's go back to verse 4 of Revelation 4. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 mature ones sitting clothed in white raiment, that means saints, and they had on their heads victor's crowns of gold. Now that's real gold there. Now go over to verse 10. And the 24 elders fall down before Christ and sat on the throne and will worship him that lives into the age of, from the ages, and they will cast their gold crowns, victor's crowns before the throne. After Satan leaves the third heaven, there's no reason for the saints to be wearing crowns, because those saints are salt in Satan's wound. It really upsets him. And the reason I know that is because when you come back to the ninth chapter in the seventh verse, when Satan gets his minions or his subjects out of incarceration, what's the first thing he does? He puts a fake crown on him, because remember, Satan is trying to counterfeit God. He's trying to be like God. Let me read the verse 7 again. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were as, that means that's not what they are, were crowns of victor's crowns, like, that means it's not gold, gold. And their faces were the faces of men. So he's saying, okay, God, you took some of the lowest of created beings, the lowest created rational being, and you put crowns on them, and I don't even have a crown? This is Satan's thinking. Well, I'm going to put a crown on my people too. But it's a fake crown. It's fake. It's kind of interesting to use that word now. It has a new and richer meaning in modern times. I like it. Fake. I used to say false. Now I say fake. Okay, verse 8. And they here's another descriptor of the same group. And their hair was as the hair of the woman. Now that, in battle, when you see the Vikings, it'd be a good image. When they have their hair long, it just pictures wildness and just like almost a wild beast. And their teeth were a teeth of lions, the fierceness, the ability to inflict harm. And verse 9, and they have breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, this ready for battle. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And their tails were like unto scorpions. You have scorpions mentioned three times in the scripture. It's interesting to me. Let's see if I can remember. They're pictured as smoke, locusts, scorpions, horses, and there's one other. And men. They're not men, but they're pictured as men in there. Okay. Let's see. I was in verse 10. And their tails were like unto scorpions, and their sting with their tails, and their power was given to hurt men. Now, it's interesting. It's obvious that Satan wanted them to hurt the saints. But who's God making them hurt? The non-saints. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, I would change that to messenger. Now, that's the one who had the key back in 1. He wasn't incarcerated then. This gives you a hint. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when Satan is incarcerated, this is a hint, and we'll see it later, of where Satan is going to be incarcerated. Okay, let me read verse 11 a little better this again. And they, this horde, had a king, the one who had the king back in key back in verse 1 over them, and he and the messenger of the bottom sides of the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is now Abaddon. It means destroyer, but in the Greek tongue it has the idea of destroyer as well. And I think I'm looking hesitating if you got a no they I thought that he had a marginal rendering, but they both mean destroyer. So here is another name for Satan. Verse 12. Woe, one woe is past. Back in verse 13 of the 8th chapter, that first woe is gone. So we were correct when we put 5T above that first woe. And two woes more hereafter. And that would be the 6th and 7th trump. Let's turn over to the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter, and at the same time you have the 5th vial. Now, this seems to be going pretty much worldwide, where Satan's minions are turned upon unsaved people. There is still a problem back in Rome. Now, the ecclesiastical organization has been judged. But the capital is going to be eventually destroyed, and now it's going to be completely cut off from any spiritual light. Now, you read in the book of John, and you also have it. Oh, I know where. Keep your finger here. We'll do this quickly. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. We can do it there. 1 Thessalonians 5. There's two kinds of darkness. There's a spiritual darkness, and there's physical darkness. Now, what do you think it's talking about here? In this section, chapter 4, the church is going to be raptured before chapter 5, the tribulation begins. Now, you come down, and it's let's just pick up the imagery. Verse 5 of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And you all, that's the ones that are going to be raptured in the 4th chapter, are children of light and the children of day. It's actually sons of light and sons of day, and we are not of the night or darkness. So that's the image of spiritual darkness, obviously there. Therefore, let us not sleep as the others, that's the unsaved, let us watch and be sober, and they that sleep in the night, they be drunken or drunken in the night. We need that imagery. Now let's go back to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation and the 10th verse. And the 5th angel poured his ceremonial bowl upon the seat that should be throne of the beast. We've spent a lot of time on this. That's Rome. Let's see, let me give you the verse for that. I can't keep going back. It's in the 17th chapter. 17:9. Okay. You can do that on your own. We're in the 16th chapter, verse 10. And the 5th angel pulled out his vial upon the throne of the beast. That's the first wild beast of Revelation 13. And his, the beast's kingdom, became full of darkness. I would take that to be spiritual darkness. Meaning any person that's saved has been taken out of there. And it's just completely given over. Which means also that a lot of these demons went there. Remember the smoke image. What did the smoke do back in the second verse of the 9th chapter? It made it so dark you couldn't see the sun. Okay. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues in pain. It's mental pain. They're cut off. Now, another thing, the second part of this is that the demons are apparently a large amount of them are sent to Rome, and they're doing all those things that Satan had planned, the scorpion, all this other stuff, the teeth of a lion, that's the one I forgot, and all these other punishments that were planned for saints. God is making them turn, and a large majority apparently of them going back to Rome and taking care of the people there. And there won't be one saint there because it's absolutely, totally spiritually in the dark. Now, one last thing. I've shown you how every one of these judgments perfectly fit the crime. And this one is a little ironic. The crime is that the people who follow the first beast of Revelation 13 and the first beast of Revelation 13 himself are spiritually dark. So God gives them so much physical light that it's in like in opposition to it. It's completely the opposite. You're in spiritual darkness, I'll give you so much physical light that it'll burn you. It'll burn you. Eventually, he's going to take that away. And then in the capital, I'm going to make it so painful. You see that last part of verse 10, that you'll understand that you might have, the sun might be seven times as bright as it used to be, but you are in absolute darkness spiritually. Punishment, crime, perfectly fit. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We certainly appreciate this pre-written history, and we hold out the possibility that this could be happening fairly soon. Amen.